talking about when you didn't know how you were going to pay the rent. I'm talking about when all hope was gone.
Dr. Tony Evans says that's the time we can count on God to help us overcome.
And Jesus Christ breaks through from heaven and tells hell, back off. And God comes through for you. Now you got a testimony.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, and senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas. Most of our problems really aren't problems, but side effects of spiritual battles we may not even be aware of. Let's join Dr. Evans as he explains.
Paul has made it clear in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and world forces of this darkness that's located in heavenly places. Paul wants us to stop focusing on the symptoms and get to the source. Your spiritual attacks that show up in visible physical realities are being driven by an invisible force. He calls them principalities and powers. You and I would call them Satan and his demons. Did you know many of the things you're facing have to do with the demons causing it? The demonic realm, which is very real, but rarely taken seriously. And as long as he can keep us blind to that, he can keep us losing the battle. Whatever that battle is in your physical world. If you're going to win the spiritual that's causing the physical or financial or emotional or whatever it is you're dealing with in the world that you live in, relational, he said you have to start with truth. Truth is God's view of a matter. Truth is God-based knowledge. Now, why must you start with truth? The reason you must start with truth is because Satan is a liar. So he feeds on lies, deceptions, incorrect information. He is the great deceiver. And in order for him to function, he needs untruth. So when you introduce truth to a situation, you've introduced something he can't handle because he can't handle the truth. The Bible says there's no truth in him. So whenever you introduce truth to a matter, you've introduced a wall that he can't climb over because he's been a liar from the beginning. His whole program is based on making you think the lie is the truth. And if he can get you believing the lie is the truth so that you operate on the lie and not the truth, you just gave him an open invitation to your world because he feeds on the lie. So God says you must wear the breastplate of truth. That is, you must ascertain God's view of a matter. Now, there's going to be a problem when you try to buckle this belt. Because when you try to buckle the belt breastplate of truth, you're going to have a problem. And the reason why you're going to have a problem is you won't always like the truth. You won't always want the truth. You will not always be willing to accept the truth. But there's something you need to know about the truth. The truth is the truth when you want it and when you don't. When you like it or when you hate it, when you accept it or when you reject it. Because if it's predicated on God-based knowledge, that is God's view of a matter, that makes it the truth irrespective of your perspective concerning it. So you must say, this is how God feels and this is what God says, and therefore this is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth on this particular matter. So you put on the belt of truth. Then you go to the breastplate, he says, of righteousness. Righteousness is really my response to the truth. It is my correlating my standard based on the designation God has given, the truth, and me operating in light of that standard. Then I am now operating rightly or righteously. He calls it the breastplate of truth because the breastplate or the chest protector covers the heart. The heart is the core or the center of your being. He's saying, let the centerpiece of your being be aligning yourself with the truth, righteousness. He then says, put on the shoes of peace, the shoes of gospel peace. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. And one of the ways God confirms that you are in now alignment is the calm he brings over your life. Peace is calm. That's different from joy. Joy is celebration. Peace is calm. Peace is when, in spite of the chaos surrounding you, there's calm inside of you. Then he says, take up the shield of faith. Remember, faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Faith is acting like it is so, even when it's not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God said so. Faith is not tethered first and foremost to your feelings. Faith is tied to your function. You can feel full of faith and be faithless. You can have no feelings of faith and be full of faith, because faith is measured by feet, not by feelings. It is measured by life, not by lips. What he wants you to know is that your faith is governed by the decision you made, not by the emotion you had. Then he says, put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. What does the helmet cover? The helmet covers the head. What's in the head? The brain. What does the brain do? Give instruction to everything else. I can move my arms right now because my brain has so instructed me to do it. I can move my feet right now because my brain has given me permission to do it. I can speak right now because my brain is actively allowing me and instructing me to speak right now. In other words, the brain is my information center. What he says is, if you're going to thwart the enemy, I want you to put over your head God-based thinking. He wants your identity, your point of reference, because it will control everything else, God's view on a matter. The truth is God-based knowledge. The righteousness is standard. The peace is my calm. But the helmet is where I receive my instruction. God wants me to look at life through the viewpoint or through the visor of my salvation. My salvific relationship with God, my saving relationship, or the fact that I am a Christian should be the governing principle of the direction I take in life. Then he says, take out the sword of the Spirit, the only offensive weapon in the arsenal, the sword of the Spirit. The Greek word for sword means dagger. So it's a close-up battle. It's when the devil is all up in your grill. It's for a short-up battle, a close battle. It was not the word for the long sword. It's the word for the short dagger. It means he's all up in your face. He's trying to destroy your life. He's trying to ruin your life. He's trying to shut down your mind. He's trying to make you run away from God. He's all up, and you don't know if you're going to make it another day. You're in a close battle. He then closes in verse 18 of chapter 6. He says, and with all prayer. All prayer. And we said prayer is the way you enter that realm. Prayer is earthly permission for heavenly interference. Prayer is you giving heaven permission to engage your earthly scenario, predicated on your willingness to have and use the armor. See, a lot of us want to pray without the armor. He says, no, prayer is the way you engage the armor in the spiritual realm. But now I know what some of you are saying. Some of you are saying, I can't remember all that. And I'm under attack. I can't remember no six pieces of armor. I'm having trouble with one. Because I hear what you're saying, and I'm a Christian and all that, but I need you to break down the Jesus part so I understand how I'm supposed to grab Jesus, get dressed up in Jesus, so that having Jesus, I am now clothed from top to bottom to deal with all this stuff, mess, crisis, evil day that the enemy is bringing into my life. Here's what he says in Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Verse 10, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of the brethren who accuses them before God day and night has been cast down. It says that the accuser of the brethren, Satan, goes before God 24/7. So let's get this straight. Hell is after you 24 hours a day. says day and night. That means all day long, okay? All night long. Day and night means 24-hour cycle. 24 hours a day, the enemy is plotting against you. 24 hours a day. Now, some days, he says, sick them, and all the demons come to you at one time, okay? That's the evil day. That's the day all hell is broken loose in your life, okay? But even without that, he says he is accuser of the brethren day and night. He seeks to go before God and find a loophole that he can use against you in order to block God from coming through for you. You don't get to see this meeting. You don't get to see this activity. It's happening in the spiritual realm. But if you don't believe it's happening in the spiritual realm, you're not going to take it seriously. And if you don't take it seriously, gotcha, 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 because he knows you're not even going to deal with it. He says that 24/7, the enemy is trying to bring accusation against you in order to bring misery to you. He is trying to defeat you, discourage you. He's trying to cause you to be insecure and unstable. He's trying to break down things in your life. That's what he does, okay? Now, that won't change until he's cast into the bottomless pit, and that is our reality. But even though that is what he does, and even though he's got demons assigned to you to make sure your life is hell, and the reason why, even though he is seeking to bring you down, he now comes after verse 10 to verse 11, and he says there are three things related to Jesus. If you just sum up with Jesus, there are three things related to Jesus. If you keep these three things working, it'll take care of everything else. It says in verse 11 of chapter 12, and they overcame him. Okay, I don't want to go too fast. They overcame him. In order for you to overcome something, there got to be something to overcome, all right? They overcame him. Okay, unless you know you're dealing with him, Satan, then he's not the one you're trying to overcome. You're trying to overcome your circumstances. You're trying to overcome that problem. But that's flesh and blood. But you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You wrestle against principalities, powers, world forces, and heavenly places. So you got to deal with him, because he's the one who's causing the chaos that you can't deal with in the physical realm that he doesn't want you to know. It's him. But now God wants you to know it's him, even though it's working out in physical ways that you can see.
So once we recognize our real problem, how do we deal with it? Well, Dr. Evans will tell us more about that when he continues our message in just a moment. If you feel like you've lost more than your share of spiritual battles, Dr. Evans is recommending a great book called Reclaiming Surrendered Ground, a look at why it's never too late for God to give you victory. And while you're at it, check into getting a copy of Dr. Evans' brand new book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare. It explains why your problems really aren't problems, but symptoms of spiritual battles taking place behind the scenes of your life. It'll teach you how to find solutions by attacking your troubles at the root. Get details on these and all of our resources when you visit us at tonyevans.org. Right now, though, let's get back to our message. Here's Dr. Evans.
It says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So let's talk about the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. The Lamb, of course, is Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. They came over him by the blood. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians don't understand the blood. Now, I know we got blood songs. We got there's power in the blood, okay? We sing, the blood will never lose its power. But let's explain that. The blood is not powerful because of its molecular construction. In other words, Jesus was a man, so he had human blood. There was nothing molecular, chemical, that was in his blood that made the blood unique as a substance. The issue is whose blood it was. All right. He calls him a lamb. In the Old Testament, they slew a lamb. When they slew a lamb, God told Israel, when you put the blood on the doorposts, I will pass over you. No, you're going to be covered when I see the blood. Not because the blood of the lamb had special blood in it. It was because the blood represented something. In other words, the blood, the shedding of the life, represented atonement for sin. In the Old Testament, it was on the layaway plan. In the New Testament, it's permanent. He says the blood or the atoning work of Christ. So when we talk about the blood, we're not talking about substance. We're talking about who died, why he died, and what his death did. We sum it up in the word atonement, at-one-ment. That is bringing us into right relationship with God. Let me talk about the weekend, Easter weekend, because a lot of folk don't understand Easter weekend. So let's start with Friday, go to Saturday, and wind up with Sunday, because all that's about the blood. Okay, on Friday, Jesus Christ hung between heaven and earth. He's bleeding profusely from his heads, his hands, his side, and his feet, and he is shedding his blood. As he's shedding his blood on the cross, he looks up and pronounces the word, tetelestai. Tetelestai is translated in your Bible, it is finished. And it is finished means paid in full. What was on the layaway plan in the Old Testament got completely paid off at Calvary. At Calvary, Jesus Christ completely satisfied the demands of God against you. Every accusation that can be made against you, even if it's legitimate, was satisfied by the blood of Christ. What Satan wants to do is keep throwing up to God your deficiencies that were satisfied by the payment of Christ. He wants to keep throwing up. In fact, many of us are still dealing with yesterday. We're still remembering all the mistakes, failures, sins that we did yesterday. But let me tell you about tetelestai. Tetelestai says, even though you owe a bill, the bill has been paid. And it was paid by Jesus Christ. Now, should that make us sin more? God says, God forbid. Heavens, no. You ought to know that if somebody picked up that much of a tab for you, you should be willing to live for them. So he says the blood of Jesus overcame them. You see, the Satan can't handle the blood. They can't handle the blood because of what the blood accomplished. But that just got the weekend started because that was Friday. Let me tell you what happened on Saturday. Most of you have never heard a message about Saturday because, you know, preachers will wax eloquent about Good Friday when Jesus hung on the cross. And you know we'll wax eloquent about early Sunday morning just a little while before day. But a lot of folk don't know about Saturday. See, Saturday, Jesus wasn't just laying up in a tomb doing nothing, because according to the scripture, between the time he died and the time he rose, it says he went down to hell. Between the time he died and the time he rose, he went down to hell and he had two sermons in hell. First of all, he turned to the devils and the demons and he told them, you lose. When I went on Calvary, you lose. So guess what he told the demons in hell? He told them, go to hell. Because they get to stay there forever. You lose because I won. Then he turned over to all the saints who were in the other side of Sheol, who were in the Old Testament Abraham's bosom. And he says, because of what I've done in my final payment, you don't have to stay here any longer. Ephesians 4 says he led captive a host of captives, and he took all the Old Testament saints and delivered them up into glory so that they could be in the presence of God because the layaway plan was over. Then, after he finished with Saturday, came Sunday. He laying there on Sunday in the physical. John says he came to the tomb. Now we know the ladies came first and said he is not here, but I like the way John found the tomb, which let John know that Jesus had arisen. John said, when I came to the tomb, the reason I knew he had risen is because I saw him buried and I saw the loincloth around him and the tie around his head. But when I walked into the tomb, the loincloth and the tile around his head were in the same spot, undisturbed. Now, if you move, if you take something off, it's gonna be disturbed. He said that thing was laying in the same space, with the same shape, in the same location, so I knew that he had risen through his glorified body and didn't disturb the physical, and I knew the grave was empty. Do you know what that means, that the grave is empty? the grave that's empty means in Romans chapter 5 that he not only died to save you, he lives to save you. So he's up in heaven right now looking for opportunities to deliver somebody. He's up in heaven right now looking for opportunities to set somebody free. He's in heaven right now looking for opportunities to release you, to say, loose him and let him go. Oh, see the blood. There's a whole lot to this blood stuff. The atoning work of Jesus Christ is a delivering work from the accusations of the devil when we take seriously the righteous stand of God. And that's only number one. He comes to number two. Here's the second thing about Jesus. Verse 11. Second thing, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Then they overcame him by the word of their testimony. I'm trying to get you to overcome him, because he's your problem. The word of your testimony. Let me explain testimony. You don't really have a testimony until you come through a test. Let's get that straight. The word of their testimony has to do in Revelations with God bringing folk through stuff. See, if God has never brought you through something, then your testimonies are going to be general and vague. You know, God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Okay. That's nice. That's cute. That's Christian-y. But I'm talking about when you were about to lose your mind. I'm talking about when you didn't know how you were going to pay the rent. I'm talking about when you didn't think you were going to make it. I'm talking about when all hope was gone and Jesus Christ breaks through from heaven and tells hell, back off. And God comes through for you. Now you got a testimony. Because you can talk about the test, the pain of the test, the anguish of the test, the hurt of the test that God has brought you through. But watch it now. He didn't just say their testimony. He said the word of their testimony. Word, that means the speaking of it. Let me put it another way. Their willingness to confess, to verbally declare their testimony. Jesus says there is a deliverance that comes when you confess him before men. Okay? In other words, Jesus is not interested in delivering secret agent Christians. He's not interested in delivering CIA representatives. He's not interested in setting free covert operatives. As I always say, everybody else coming out the closet, you might as well come out too.
Dr. Tony Evans, describing what it's like when we really have something to say about what God has done in our lives. Now, if you'd like to request a copy of today's study to review or pass along, here's Dr. Evans to explain how.
Well, you can get today's message simply by logging on to tonyevans.org, and you can also take a tour of all that we have to offer you on our website. There are ministry resources. There are spiritual resources for your personal and family development. There's training for leaders. There are so many things that we have available to you simply by logging on to tonyevans.org. And would you consider becoming a friend of our ministries? We need your friendship, one who supports us on a monthly basis, and we carry on this special relationship with those to whom we have developed this special camaraderie with.
We depend on your support to keep bringing you our program and to continue our work equipping pastors, church leaders, and congregations to carry out God's kingdom agenda. You can make your contribution or pledge online at tonyevans.org or give us a phone call at 1-800-800-3222. Next time, Dr. Evans begins a series of lessons on what it's like to live as a liberated Christian, starting with a look at what we need to be liberated from. I hope you'll join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, rebuilding lives from the inside out.